All right, we are rolling and we are live from the beach in Destin, Florida. Hello, Struggle Fam. How are you? It's me, Ryan. I'm really happy to be connecting with you guys from my balcony here as I look out at some crashing waves and some sand and my kids playing dangerously close to a jellyfish. Don't worry, there's adults out there. And I just wanted to take a second here to, or I don't know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, who knows, however long this is, to just record like a totally unfiltered, off-the-cuff episode, because I didn't want to leave you hanging. Originally, I had marked out this week on my schedule, and I was like, okay, I'm going on spring break. I'm not going to work, but I have a hard time not working. I don't know if anybody else out there is like this. It's like kind of like the rock climber thing where it's hard to not train, you know, it's like hard to take a deload week. And so I haven't, like, I've mostly been taking a deload week, but I've been doing a little training out here. I've posted on Instagram. You've probably seen, I'm using like my force board to do some finger curls and that kind of thing. And also I've discovered it's like been more stressful for me to not do a little bit of work. So here I am recording an unfiltered episode for you, and maybe it'll be interesting and maybe it'll be garbage, but it's something for us to do together here on this morning or afternoon or evening or commute or while you're at work or at the gym, wherever you listen. Thanks. Let's crack a beer. Oh, how about that? How about the sound of that? That is delicious. Now, full disclosure, I've actually been fighting a little bit of a cold out here. This is the life of a parent with a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old is like, I'm either getting sick or I'm getting better. I'm never just like fine. So the beer that I just cracked there is a non-alcoholic beer. It's an Athletic brew. It's Witt's Peak. Oh my gosh, it's so delicious. It's like a Belgian style Witt. Athletic Brewing is not a sponsor of this podcast. They do sponsor climbers though. I've had some of their climbers on the show. I've had Alex Johnson and Allison Vest. Are there others? Anyway, hey Athletic, if you're listening, send me money or free beer. So anyway, yeah, I'm not drinking right now. I did have a really big bucket of margarita when we first arrived here after driving. Drove from Kentucky. It's like a 10.5-hour drive, but we broke it into 2 days. We actually stayed super close to Horse Pens. We were in Birmingham on our way, and I could not negotiate a half day to go climbing. But I'm going to add that to the agenda next year. So anyway, I'm in Destin. I hope you're great. What should we talk about here? Let's talk about questions. I got a ton of questions from you guys. I put out a little APB on Patreon and Instagram, and I got a lot of questions. I don't think I'm going to get to all of them, but if this does not crash and burn as an episode, then maybe I'll do another one every once in a while, and we can answer more questions. So I'll get to some of those. So maybe I'll answer some questions. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about my training and my climbing and maybe an update on the road to 13A, since I haven't done one of those episodes in a while with Eric Hurst. Although I did recently talk a lot about my project with Nate Drolet in that first installment of movement with him, the analysis installment for that pro clinic. And we've got another one coming up in a couple of weeks. So I probably won't belabor it. Are you sick of hearing about my project? I'd like to hear about your projects. Send me a message. If you're a patron, you can just message me in our chat group. But if you are not, if you're on Instagram, you can DM me on Instagram, or you can just email me or whatever. I truly would love to hear about your project, and we can all struggle together. Misery loves company, and so does Stoke, and I'm really stoked on all that stuff. So, all right, let's do some questions, some listener questions. I love you guys. Thank you for sending in questions. Makes my heart happy. So first up, question comes from Connor. Connor, this question came in from Instagram. Thank you, Connor. He says, you've mentioned climbing epinephrine a couple of times on the podcast. Any advice for someone hoping to climb it in a few weeks? What was your experience like on it? Oh my gosh, what a route. Yes. Well, look, for those who don't know what epinephrine is, I probably should have looked this up so because I'm hazy on the details, but it's a big multi-pitch climb. It's not a big wall, technically, because you can do it in a day, I think. Is that the distinction? I talked with Jordan Cannon about this on a pro clinic about multi-pitch and big wall tactics. I think epinephrine is not considered a big wall, but it's the biggest ass wall I've ever climbed, you guys. I want to say it was 15 pitches. It's a couple thousand feet. The last handful of pitches, maybe three or four pitches, are we were kind of simul-climbing, they're scrambly, but it was sketchy enough where we were still roped up, but just we were kind of placing minimal gear. But anyway, it took us forever. It was a party of three, so full disclosure, that obviously takes longer. But we were on the wall itself for 12 hours, and I think it was like a 15 or 16 hour day all in with the, you know, the approach and then the hike off. Oh, it killed me. It was so good, though. So anyway, it's in Red Rocks in Vegas. A lot of people who have not been to Vegas or seen like posts don't think of that area as having like all the styles of climbing, but man, it is mega. You've got incredible boulders, you've got incredible sport climbing, and incredible multi-pitch. It's really, really good climbing there. And there's sandstone and limestone, and there's high altitude stuff, or high elevation stuff. Not sure if I'm saying that right. In any case, it's like, basically, there's great climbing there. I digress. Epinephrine. So I used to do a lot of trad, a lot of multi-pitch when I lived out in Los Angeles, and I haven't done much of that since moving to Kentucky. That's why I'm constantly talking about the Red River Gorge. And my apologies to those who are listening from other areas if it gets tiresome to hear about me just climbing in a few places, either talking about my glory trad dad days out west or my sport climbing struggles at the Red, but hopefully there's something in there that you can relate to. I also boulder, just not as much. Like, I've taken a trip to Leavenworth last year and did some amazing bouldering there. I was out in the Craft Boulders in Vegas not too long ago doing some bouldering, but for the most part, I'm a sport climber. And I do long to get back to my trad climbing days. I think that'll be a really wonderful chapter, another chapter in my climbing soon here. But right now I'm like pretty psyched about trying hard on the sport climbs at the Red. In any case, epinephrine, Connor, is the most fun. I mean, I'm assuming you're probably a stronger climber than me, so I won't belabor this question too much, but for anybody who's looking to climb that ultra classic route, I think it goes 5.9, if I recall correctly, meaning the hardest pitch is 5.9. There are many other pitches on there that are easier than 5.9. That said, there's some hard-ass pitches. And so for me, and you don't have a whole lot of time here, but for me, I was least prepared for the off-width and chimney pitches, which is about 2.5 pitches in a row. Starts with, if I recall, like half a pitch of kind of off-width, chicken wingy, pretty hard, for me, awkward climbing because I wasn't accustomed to that kind of climbing. And then it goes into like, oh, I think two straight pitches of chimney, like full chimney. I was smacking around looking for tiny little credit card edges to try to crimp onto because my triceps and my quads were so flamed that it was hard for me to continue to press myself in there. So if I were to give you a piece of advice, if you're not accustomed to that style, it would be to do some like squats and bench presses, or like even isometric holds where you're like kind of sitting in a chair position against a wall, like your back is against the wall and you're like kind of, it's like a mime chair. There's no chair, but you're pretending you're sitting in a chair. You know what I'm saying? So you just get used to like holding forever in that like pressed position. Those were like the killer pitches for me. I didn't lead them. I think I would have been really scared. The gear placement, there's good gear. There's like cams that you kind of shove way back into a crevice in the chimney, but just following those was like 100% effort. And then other than that, you know, really, really comfy shoes for the approach and the walk off afterwards, because it's just a lot. It's a big, long day. Bring a ton of food. Don't bonk and have the best time. Thank you for your question, Connor. I'm not much of an authority on multi-pitch climbing anymore, so I will leave it at that. But you can check back on my pro clinic with Jordan Cannon on multi-pitch climbing, and he's got some great stuff with regard to like tactics and speed and rope management and all of that, all super helpful stuff. Okay, let's do another question. Sammy. Sammy asks, what's something about you that we don't know? Oh, I mean, probably everything, Sammy? I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit of an open book on this podcast. I talk about my family a bit. I talk about climbing a lot. What's something about, I can ride a unicycle. Does that count? I kind of consider myself to be a jack of all trades, master of none. And I think I've just, you know, certain personalities are that. Some people like go deep and so others go wide. And I've like kind of always gone wide. I always really respect and have admired those who go deep. And I'm trying to push myself into that more. Like I'd love to get some sort of expertise in something. But I don't know. I'm just interested in dabbling. I dabble in a lot of things. So when I was younger, I just dabbled in like a million sports and weird little things. And so I learned how to, I just saw a unicycle at the bike shop one day. I used to race mountain bikes, so I was always at the bike shop. And there was a unicycle hanging up. And so, you know, it was a Schwinn bike shop and a Schwinn unicycle. I still have it, if you can believe it. And I can still ride it. And so, yeah, I can ride a unicycle. Something about me that you don't know. I have mentioned this on the podcast quite a bit, but I don't know, like, we haven't really gone deep into it, but in kind of my prior career when I was living out west, I did a lot of acting. So I was on a lot of TV shows and that kind of thing. So every once in a while, like, if anybody flips channels anymore, which I don't know if anybody does, or if, like, some new thing comes up on Netflix, like, I played the murderer on a million TV shows, or, like, the guy who did it. Like, all the procedurals, all the CSIs and Law and Orders and those kinds of shows. I had like a run for a while there where I was just constantly the bad guy, which I think drove my mom crazy because she probably didn't love, she probably wanted to see me play the good guy. But mostly, you know, the guest stars, like when you're getting started in like that bit, like the television business, like most of the guest stars are like the people who did it, you know, the heroes are the stars. And I was never a star. I was always just the guy who did it. So anyway, if you're flipping around and you see me or you recognize this voice, and it's like any sort of like criminal show, I did it. So my apologies. Spoiler alert. Let's move on here. The Choss Boss. Great screen name. The Choss Boss asks, how have the tactics you learned from Nate helped you on the force so far? Cool question. Oh my God. I learned so much from that conversation with Nate. And I made that pro clinic available in full for free for everyone. You know, like mostly, almost always, I fade those out about 30 minutes in. I still think I give away a lot of it, a lot of value for free to the general audience, but that's just one of the patron perks is getting access to those pro clinics. But I made this full pro clinic with Nate on analysis available to everyone so you could see how he works with a client and essentially put yourself in my shoes and have like a coaching session with Nate. And I learned a ton from him. And I think the biggest takeaways, Mr. Choss Boss or Miss Choss Boss, Madam Choss Boss, would be his focus on my feet. That was really like the big runner, the big through line was he just felt like I was putting way too much on my hands, not rooting my feet enough, not being athletic enough in my feet. We talked about shoes for part of that, and he recommended some softer shoes for me to wear, which I've implemented, by the way, and I do feel the difference. It's like crazy. But also just like consciously thinking about my feet. And it's so weird because I've been climbing for a while now. And obviously that's like a common refrain is like more on your feet, you know, just steer with your hands. It's like climbing a ladder. But whether it's like the steep routes at the Red, or maybe it's just because when it gets more technical, because I'm climbing this limit project, I'm definitely not like focusing enough on my feet. So I brought some of that intentionality to my training on the treadwall. I've been doing a lot of treadwall training, just building up my fitness. And I've like really thought about the feet while I'm doing that, like pushing and raising my toes and going up on my calf to getting extra extension rather than trying to pull in with my arms and lock off into it. And like immediate feedback. I've just felt the difference. I've gone through longer treadwall workouts, like I've lasted longer to failure than I had prior. And I think part of that is probably that I'm building fitness, no doubt. But also I think part of it is that I'm climbing more efficiently. I'm pushing more into my feet. And so I think I'm just going to have to be very manual about that for a while, just really thinking about it. And then hopefully it starts to change some habits. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from my conversation with Nate, but there were many, many more. And in that episode, as well as the full video, which is on Patreon, he analyzed some of my climbing. I sent him videos of my climbing, both indoors and out, and was very specific about like things that I was doing that he noticed. So cool. That guy knows his stuff on movement. If you need some movement help, look up Nate Drolet or also Lauren Abernathy, who was a recent guest on our coach chats. She works with Nate and specializes in movement as well. So both of those coaches are just awesome. Highly recommend you look them up if you want to explore that side of your climbing. Let's move on to the next question. Trey asks, what's your favorite climbing shoe you have owned and why? I'm a nerd about Shoe Beta. Well, hey, this goes like kind of into the last question where Nate was recommending softer shoes. So I've climbed in Scarpas forever. That was my first pair of shoes. I haven't exclusively climbed in Scarpas. For example, on Epinephrine, I wore TC Pros because they're bigger and there's like a little bit of like crack and a little bit of some stemming and a little bit of edge work. And they're just like a shoe that I was going to be comfortable in all day. I also own a pair of Mythos. Both of those are by Sportiva. They're awesome shoes. And though I'm sponsored by Scarpa and I think the world of them, I also, you know, can say great things about both the TCs and the Mythos. So can't go wrong there. But for sport climbing, I've been wearing the Instinct VSRs. So that's the softer version. I was wearing the Instinct VSs. Nate was like, hey, try a little bit softer version. I switched to those. I wear them both. I love them both. And I'm super loving the slightly softer VSRs right now. I think they are going to wear out faster. So that's like something to consider with regard to budget because shoes are not cheap. But I'm loving those VSRs. And then I'm also going to be trying out the Veloce Lace-Ups by Scarpa, which Nate recommended to me in our chat. And I haven't gotten them yet, but I'm going to, and I'm going to put them to work out on the Praj. And those are nice and soft. And as Nate said in the episode, they're kind of billed as this like intermediate shoe or even like a gym shoe, but he loves them on sandstone. And he said that, you know, you can climb well into the 514s in those. So I'm not a shoe nerd, Trey, and so I'm learning as I go. And just honestly, that conversation with Nate was really eye-opening for me. If you have shoes that you would like to recommend to me, Trey, I would love to hear it. And fortunately, there's some great shoe nerds out there. I did an episode with Amity Warm not long ago, maybe a couple months ago, about her work on Cobra Crack. And she is a total shoe nerd and was wearing two different shoes on Cobra Crack, like one to smear and one to edge. And she talked a lot about that in that episode too. So if you like to geek out on that and you haven't heard that Amity episode, pop back to that one. Moving on. Blue Dot Flannel. Blue Flannel. Is that a song? It's not a song. Blue Flannel. What's the name? What's the reference there? Maybe this person's name is Blue. Maybe not. Maybe it's just a name. Anyway, favorite guilty pleasure food. Oh, the list is long. Chex watch. Makes sure kids are still alive on the beach. Okay, good. Let's tuck into this for 7 hours. First of all, I'm on vacation mode. I'm on vacation and in vacation mode right now. And so, I'm gonna post a picture of what this kitchen looks like right now. It is all the stuff. So first of all, let me say this. I don't believe in like guilty pleasure as much as just eating when you want to eat. And I mean, I do have to show restraint. Let me rephrase that. Certain foods are, I guess, pleasure foods. I don't know if I feel guilty when I eat them as long as I'm not like going off the rails on them. So I'm a vegetarian. I eat a pretty damn good diet, I think. I take in a lot of protein. I listen to all the guests that have had on the show. I've learned a lot from them, from Amity Warm, who's a nutritionist, to Caitlin Holmes, who is a nutritionist or a dietary specialist, to Dave McLeod, who has a couple degrees in the field and also does wild experiments on himself, to every guest who kind of talks about nutrition. I glean something from them, but that said, I do go off the rails. And so on vacation right now, I'm looking at Oreos, double stuffed, gluten-free. My wife's gluten-free. I'm not, but man, these are really good. You can't tell the difference. And they're double stuffed, so of course they're amazing. We've got some chocolate donuts I'm looking at. We've got Lucky Charms and Fruity Pebbles. I am a huge cereal fan. I have been finding Magic Spoon cereal to be really good. Not sponsored, but they make like kind of your favorite kid-style cereals, but they're keto, so they're high protein and low carb, and they're a little expensive, but, you know, I'll eat a bowl of their Fruit Loops and it's like 15 grams of protein and like 2 grams of carbs. I don't really watch carbs per se, but it's high protein, which I like. Other guilty pleasure. Oh, dark chocolate covered nuts. Bazzini is the company that makes these. Dark chocolate covered pecans and walnuts. I think they're like my crack right now. I have an issue. Like that's probably the thing that I do have a problem with is those chocolate covered nuts, but there's like good fat in them and antioxidants. I don't know. I'm obviously justifying this habit of mine. There's loads of other stuff in this kitchen right now. I do eat a lot of yogurt. I love yogurt. So when I'm really trying to like stay disciplined and lean and all that, I get rid of every sweet in the house because I cannot be around them. I cannot be trusted. I don't have the willpower, but I'll get rid of them all. And then I'll just eat yogurt as snacks and I'll maybe put some like chocolate protein powder into some Greek yogurt and it tastes pretty damn good. So anyway, thanks for the question, Blue Flannel. What are your favorite guilty pleasure foods? Let me know. I'll add them to my list. Okay, Jessica asks, what does a gym session look like for you? That's a good question. I mean, it's different. I guess what else, I can say what it doesn't look like, probably easier than what it does look like. It doesn't look like hours of like hanging out with friends and projecting and having fun. I have had that period in my life and I love it. And every once in a while, if I can do that, it's great because I do think that there's a huge benefit, like, there's like extra recruitment that one gets when the stoke is high and there's friends and everybody's cheering each other on. And so every once in a while, like the Louisville crew and I will meet up for a moonboard session. And usually everybody's sending like hard during those sessions, which I love. But more times than not, I actually think about the gym as like, what is the minimum effective dose I need and the minimum amount of time I can get in and get out? Because I'm just at a really busy time of my life, and I'm sure many of you are too. I'm not unique in that, but I've got young kids, I've got a full-time job and a full-time podcast / YouTube channel / whatever else that I'm doing for this, which I love. And I've got parents who are getting up there in age and they're local, and I help them out with stuff like I drive them to doctor's appointments and help them around the house. And so I'm kind of in that, you know, sandwich generation, I think it's called. So I'm taking care of kids, I'm taking care of parents, and I'm trying to like make money and have some security and that kind of thing. So I guess that's a long-winded way of saying that I don't have hours to spend at the gym. When I do have hours, I try to get out to the red. So I'll clear a half day, or usually it ends up being a full day, to get out to the red. So anything else that I'm doing, I try to be super efficient. I've got a little mini spray wall in my basement that mostly like the kids climb on, but I've set some like hard little replicas on there that I can train for my project, and a hangboard, and I've got my force board that I use. So I'm like trying to get in the workout without spending too much time doing it. But when I do go to the gym, Jessica, I'll usually do one day a week on the moon board or some like hard set problems in the Boulder gym. And then one day a week on a tread wall or doing some like circuits on a spray wall. And that's probably it, you know, maybe 2 days a week. Maybe a third day a week, I'll go to the gym on a weekend with my kids and get them on a rope and climb with them. And then maybe like sneak in a little something myself. But typically, this time of year, at least, I'm trying to get outside once or twice a week. And I won't do more volume than that. So kind of minimal time at the gym there. Tom asks, the craziest place you've driven the Prius? Oh, well, Tom's been in my Prius. Hi, Tom. What's the craziest place? Were you with me when I got a speeding ticket on the way to the red the other day? Maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was Kyle and Thomas and some of the others. But anyway, I did get a speeding ticket, not in the Prius. I was in my wife's car. So my wife drives a Highlander. I love it. I think it's the best car we've ever had. It's a Toyota Highlander hybrid. It's great. It goes everywhere and it's comfy, and we just drove it to Florida with the kids. And anyway, not sponsored by Toyota, but would be happy to get a free car. So Prius. Yeah, I've had a couple Priuses actually. So I've been driving a Prius since 2008, and I got my current Prius in 2012. So what is that? 12 years old? I've got, I don't know, almost 200,000 miles on it. I love it. I paid it off, I don't know, 5 years ago. And so every day I get out of this car is just, it brings me such joy. I don't long for a new car. I know some people like always want like the new car and all that stuff. And I will say, like, when I was filming with Alex Honnold not too long ago, and we were driving around in his Rivian, and I was like, that was maybe the first time where I felt excitement for a vehicle. But I can't afford that car payment. Rivian, sponsor me. Let's not make this podcast about me asking people to sponsor me, okay? I'm going to make a mental note right there. But the Prius, I have to say, is freaking awesome. That's why I've had two of them. That's why I'm going to try to take this one to 500,000 miles. I just love it. And one might be surprised at actually how rugged it is. It's not, you know, I mean, it's not like rugged, but it hasn't held me back from going anywhere at the red. I drive it down to the mother load lot. I haven't driven it over like onto the, down to the Sorheel lot with like all those moguls. Although I did see a Camry out there the other day. So I think the Prius could probably make it, but I'll drive it there. I drive it back to the coal bank, you know, where my Proj is, and you know, it'll do some two tracking. It'll do some steep stuff. There's a little button that puts it into power mode, which just makes me smile because it's like putting a Prius into power mode is, it just seems like an oxymoron, but it actually just kicks like a bunch of extra energy to, I think it dumps the battery like into the front wheel drive. And so you can actually really go over some pretty decent terrain. The clearance isn't good. So it's more about the driver than the car when it comes to uneven, rugged terrain. Why am I still talking about this? It was a joke question by Tom. I've answered it more than any of you care to have heard it. So let's move on. Canada Wobbler. That's a great name. Canada Wobbler. Any upcoming guests you can tease? Should I tease guests? I don't know. Is it better if it's a surprise or is it better? Well, look, if you're a patron, even if you're a free patron, you get to see, usually when I interview a guest, almost always when I interview a guest, I send out a message on Patreon announcing that and then giving you all, the listeners, an opportunity to ask questions. So there's a plug for Patreon. I've already done a couple of them today, I guess. But another reason to join up on Patreon, even just as a free member, is that you'll get heads up on guests and you get an opportunity to get questions answered. And by the way, like I ask them and they answer them. So I had a great conversation with Carlo Traversi recently. I am so excited for this episode to come out. If y'all are into bouldering, if you're into trad climbing, if you're into sport climbing, oh yeah, he does it all at an exceptionally high level. Is he the best all-around climber in the world? He might be. No, I guess Adam Andre is. But like, he's up there, right? I mean, he is friggin' up there. And he just had a kid. We had a lot of fun about that. But like, we ended up talking for like 2.5 hours. It was so insightful. He, coincidentally, ironically, I never know when to use those terms, climbed his hardest lifelong project called the Dark Side, which is where my hardest project is located at the red, is called the Dark Side. Different things. So his, the Dark Side, is a boulder, a V16 proposed boulder in Camp 4, right next to another one called the Force. And my project is called the Force at the Dark Side. Anyway, loved the parallels there. We talked a lot about limit projecting. We talked a lot about footwork, because that granite style, Yosemite style climbing really requires mastery in movement and footwork and body position. And we just talked about a ton of other stuff. This guy is the real deal. So we had so much fun on that one. Also, Tommy Caldwell's coming up. I'm really excited about that. I've got a special Earth Day episode with Tommy coming up in a couple of weeks. And that goes into his epic, I don't know, the longest eco point in the world, perhaps? I don't know, maybe that was Seb's attempt at the Dawn Wall. But when he and Alex rode their bikes from Colorado to Alaska to do the Devil's Thumb, we talked all about that and so much more, including this gentleman's bet that he and Sonny Trotter and Alex Honnold have going on who can climb 9A or 514D first between all of them, you know, starting now as dads. Tommy and Sonny have climbed plenty of 14Ds, 9As, of course, and higher, but I don't think Alex ever did. But that was something he was working on when I was out in Vegas with him. We filmed a really cool episode for a YouTube thing that I'm going to be launching. So he was working on his proj. I was working on a 12A. And we were both struggling at about the same level, which is so cool about climbing. I love that about climbing, that it's just scalable. That's kind of why I started this podcast. All right, we're coming up on 30 minutes here. I think I'm going to save the rest of these questions for later. I mean, normally my podcasts are like 90 minutes, but I don't think I can talk by myself for that long, I'm realizing. It's 30 minutes in. How do these guys do it? Like Eric Hurst does solo podcasts that go for an hour, and Huberman will do a 2-hour solo podcast. I don't know how you do it. Maybe caffeine instead of this delicious athletic brew. I'm not going to ask you to sponsor me though, because I said I'm not going to turn this into more sponsorship talk. But I think I will wrap it up there. And is there anything else I want to tease out coming up? Oh, yes. So like in a week, a little over a week, I'm going to be taking part in RIAD, which is Red in a Day, which is at the Red River Gorge. and it emulates or is inspired by the Nose in a Day NIAD, as you all are, I'm sure, very familiar with. And so it's 31 pitches, it's 3,000 feet of climbing at the red. You can tick whatever routes you want. You get more points for climbing harder grades, but I'm just going to try to survive it. So I'm teaming up with Dr. Thomas Cunningham. You may remember him as a guest from last year. He's a local Louisville guy. He's a medical doctor. He does emergency room medicine. He's also a crusher. He climbed Southern Smoke a year ago, which is one of the hardest routes at the Red River Gorge at 14C, used to be 14D, probably is 14D, I don't know. But anyway, the dude is strong, and probably for the last 20 pitches of the day, I'll just be on his back, and he'll just be climbing with both of us. But if you all are going to be out at the Red, or if you're kind of local, it's a fundraiser for the Red River Gorge Climbers Coalition, RRGCC. RRGCC, is that right? So many acronyms. Red River Gorge Climbers Coalition, RRGCC. Anyway, it's a fundraiser for them. They do amazing stuff. They maintain the crags and the trails, and it's a wonderful organization. And you get to come out, you get a t-shirt, and try to climb 31 pitches in 10 hours, which is something I've never done. So speaking of like how wrecked I was after doing epinephrine, let's see how wrecked I am in a week after doing Riad. But I'll be out there doing that, and I'm going to be monitoring the whole thing with my Koros. Koros is a sponsor of the show, and I'm grateful for that. It helps me to keep the lights on over here. But also, I think there's going to be some really interesting science that comes out of this for what a 44-year-old, somewhat in shape and somewhat not in shape guy goes through in trying to do 31 pitches in 10 hours. So I've actually been training for the past couple of weeks, like on the treadmill, and I've been monitoring my heart rate and my heart rate variability and other metrics using my Koros. But on the day, I'm going to be doing some like Instagram living and posting stories about what the experience is like. So I'm equal parts psyched and terrified for that. It'll probably set me back a little bit with regard to my work on my project, the 13A project, the force that I've been working on, but I'm okay with that. I think this is going to be a really memorable experience, and I'm not in any rush to get the project done. I think it'll be really fun when it does go down, but I took a detour the other day and just climbed other stuff, and I think Riad is going to be a really special experience. So I encourage you all, if you're project obsessed like I am, to still find those, you know, little opportunities to get out and get psyched on something else. So I'm very psyched on Riad. And I think my fitness is pretty close to peak once I come off of this vacation and the margs and the donuts and the fruity pebbles. But IAD should definitely kick me back into peak endurance shape after I recover and my skin recovers. So that's what's on the horizon. And I just wanted to give you a special shout out. Thank you if you've made it this far to listen to my ramblings here on my Florida vacation. I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful that you're listening. I'm really psyched to hear about your climbing. If you can share what you're up to on Instagram or hit me up on Patreon or whatever, I just get inspired by all of you from around the world who are listening, who are gaining something from this. If you have thoughts or ideas on guests or topics or anything, really, I really do love to hear from you. It's such a cool community that we have for climbing and climbers. And I'm just grateful to be a part of it. So thank you. Have an awesome day. I am going to go out and do some boogie boarding now.